from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. We have a caller 25 right now. Get your name in the hat for the $1,000 Friday cash drop. On Friday at 8 a.m., I say your name. You have 5 minutes to call, and the money is yours. So leave a caller 25 right now. 1-800-955-5567. I want to congratulate Dawn Cooper. She got some of the Sabroso tickets. So we'll be seeing Dawn out there and Matt. So let's get Billy Gardell in here. Where is Billy?
Billy in a while.
Now, Billy's going to be performing at the Irvine Improv this Friday and Saturday. For tickets, you can go to irvine.improv.com. Good to have him back on the show.
Hey, Billy!
Did we do the doorbell?
We did,
the doorbell
of
didn't go off.
He hit it.
See, and I didn't touch Frosty.
No.
So. Yeah, make sure.
Thank you, Billy.
Wide berth.
Give him a wide berth.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look at you too long.
That's right.
How are you guys?
I would advise that.
Are you the same way? Did you go get a massage if they give you a spa package?
When I go get a massage?
Yeah,
yes, until I drool.
Yeah.
That's one of my, me and my wife, that's like one of our favorite things. After you've been married a long time, that's funner than a movie.
Having other people touch you.
just anybody. No. No, what we do is we're actually going to Vegas next week because my son is at the age now, he's a teenager, so we're out.
Yeah.
We're out. It's always, can I go sit to so-and-so's? Can I go to so-and-so's?
And so you're empty nesters.
We're looking, well, not really. Yeah. It's close. You know, it's the, like, it's almost like the prequel to, or the prequel to that. Like, mm-hmm. We're getting used to he's gone on the weekends, and now we're looking at each other like, what did we used to do? We used to do stuff. So I know we went places and we talked to people. So now we're gonna do a spa day in Vegas. I love that. We'd get the couples massage, and then we'd sit in a sauna. I love all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
When's the last time you've been to Vegas?
I performed there last year at the Treasure Island. I get there as much as I can. I love it. I love Vegas.
Are you a gamer?
Craps. That's me.
I can sit at that table forever and not understand what the hell is going on. I want to know, but I don't get it.
That's not the game you learn in Vegas. You want to learn that game before you go to Vegas. Otherwise, you'll get wiped out. But it's a pretty simple game. I mean, once you get, there's a lot of possible bets. That's why it seems so confusing. But once you learn, it's just about the point, making the point, betting against for or against the point. But it's not hard. I can show you in between breaks.
It's fun because it's we win as a whole.
Well, it's quick. You win as a group or lose as a group. Mostly, there's always one person that bets against the winning count. Nobody likes that guy.
Shut up.
Nobody likes that guy.
Ass.
And,
see, I don't want to be that person. I want everybody to be like, yay, we're happy you're at the table, not like, who brought her.
The other part is, that's the best odds in the house. You got 50-50 odds every roll, so that's the best odds in the house.
Oh, it's better than roulette wheel, which is the only thing I play.
I like that once in a while because it's like throwing darts. It's pretty easy. It's mindless. And if it hits, you get a nice 35-1 payoff. Not that I'm a degenerate.
Are you into the sports book at all? You got March Madness is here.
You know what? I don't know anything about college basketball. I'm an amateur. I get a bracket and I'm hopeful, and then it's busted like an ashtray about the third game in, and then I hate it.
I know.
That's my March Madness experience every year. Like, this year. This is Villanova lost.
Then you don't care anymore.
Billy Gardell hanging out with us.
Good to see you guys again, man. Has Frosty been behaving for you guys?
It's good to have him back on the show.
Right, say they want him in the room, but it's like I'd leave and get the real truth coming out.
Everybody knows Billy from Mike and Molly and all the success that show had. The series finale was last May, after 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. Now you're syndication, probably now until the end of time,
because
it's one of those shows that will never
keep buying it.
It will never not be syndicated.
I hope we're just rolling at dinner time for the rest of my days on the planet.
I love Mike and Molly. I hated to see it go.
I mean, too.
I get it where you ended it. I get it, but I watch it whenever it's on. I've seen every episode 7 times. Whenever it's one of those shows that. Whenever it's on, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this.
You know what? That's very kind. Thank you. We've become that, you know, we're in that fraternity of, you know, the dinner show and the late night show.
Right.
So that's really cool to be in that.
Was there an emotional farewell moment when it was just, you know, the cast together and it was
everybody
this is it for the last
wept.
Time?
We wept the last week of that show when we read where they finally have the baby. Like, by the time we got to at the table read, everybody was just a mess. As Melissa always said, most of us were Irish on that show. So, like, if one went,
everybody's going.
I'm so Irish, I'll cry before we fist fight. I don't want to do this. I'm going to have to do this to you. You You're making me do this.
So. We were talking about earlier in the show, once we had our first taste of success and a little money coming our way, did we ever go and do something nice for our parents? Looking, did you ever, hey, I did.
I bucket listed them. The second year, Mike and Molly, me and my wife said, all right, let's take them wherever they want to go. Well, we both have parents that divorced when we were younger, so I got banged out for four checks instead of two.
Sorry.
We did all right in the ratings. It's okay. If it was, I don't want to say that. I'm going to knock another network, and I shouldn't. All right. Anyway, but we did. We said, all right, let's take them anywhere they want to go. So her mom and her stepdad wanted to go to Hawaii, so we took them to Hawaii. Her father wanted to go to Hawaii, another trip to Hawaii. My mom wanted to go to Las Vegas and like stay in a big suite and have, you know, all the...
Which
all,
you were happy about.
I was like, sure, Mom, Vegas, that's a great idea.
Only doing this for you, though.
I don't know, I'll see you Thursday. And then my dad wanted to go to Graceland. That was his bucket list. I said, you can go anywhere you want to go, man. He wanted to go to Graceland.
That's cool.
So he was the cheapest date. That was nice. And I got to take him. And now I'm on this show called Sun Records.
Yeah.
And I'm playing Colonel Parker. My dad was a huge Elvis Presley fan. Huge Elvis Presley. Like when Elvis died, my dad called into work sick for 3 days.
Damn.
And I mean, he was, so to be playing Colonel Parker, Elvis's manager, is really wild. So I'm going to bring him up for the filming, hopefully, if we do season two this summer. So it's very exciting.
Do you have siblings?
It's a cool show. I love it. Yeah, I got two brothers.
Well,
one
sister. Yeah, you just want, yeah, that's right. Because your brother looks so, like you guys have a pizza place, right?
Yeah, we did. We had a pizza joint in Orlando for a little while. Here's a little investment advice to folks opening in Florida. Don't open a business where the snowbirds live, because they leave for 4 months a year. It'll kill your business.
Yeah.
Even
just
pizza,
a little public service announcement.
<That's
all. laughs> You want to negotiate that in the lease going in is what you want to do.
How tough is it to, on your new show, to play characters that were real people? A lot of people still, it's one thing to play a fictional character, but you're playing, you know, Johnny Cash and Jerry Lewis and Colonel Parker. And you're comparing the acting you're seeing to the real persona you remember. Is it really difficult to...
Well, it was kind of lucky. I was lucky in that because nobody really knew who Colonel Parker was. I talked to, you know, Memphis was very opening to us when we went down there. We had a lot of people talking to us about people that were there that experienced all this stuff. But I talked to four people that knew Colonel Parker and nobody could describe him the same way. So what you very quickly learn is this guy hid in the back and he was only... what the situation needed. Nobody really knew who this guy was. So the way we started building the character was he's just a guy that'll do anything to get the money. It doesn't matter. If you need him to be happy, he's happy. If you need him to be sad, he's sad. And then, you know, he was very greedy with Elvis. I mean, he ended up trying to take, and did for a while, got 50% of Elvis's earnings, which is just horrid. Now, I talked to the CEO of Graceland. You can actually justify 28%. Because in today's show business, if you're successful, you have an agent, you have a manager, you have a lawyer, you have a publicist. So you're looking at about 28% right there. You know, so yeah, and the Colonel did all those jobs. He was also the guy that saw what Elvis could be and was able to market him that way. But then he made him feel, what you find out is he isolated Elvis and made him in a very unhealthy way feel secure. So there was a weird codependent relationship. So I think that's why he got away with taking so much money from him.
And the Colonel had that amazing chicken franchise he had just started.
Yeah.
That's his evil twin. Yeah. And why can't I get a crack at that commercial?
I know.
Why
I've been waiting for you. I'm like, come on. You probably already got the bolo tie.
One Colonel at a time.
That's on CMT.
CMT's Thursday night, 10 p.m. When we're doing good. I really like it. It's a great show. Here's what the show's really about, too. It's Chad Michael Murray plays Sam Phillips. He's doing a great job. The kids who are playing the young artists, the one Johnny Cash and Elvis, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and then we've got the other characters that were there in Memphis, B.B. King, Jackie Branston, Ike Turner. So you've got this time in Memphis where Sam Phillips really had the vision to go down there, and this is a time where civil rights is bubbling, man, and things are tense, and yet here's this guy in the middle of the South who's going, we're going to combine hillbilly music, the blues, and the church. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what color you are. If you can rock and roll, I want to hear what you can do. So it created this community that was really, really powerful and had an impact on everything. The other storyline that I really love about this show is Keir O'Donnell plays Dewey Phillips, who was the first rock and roll DJ. Now, Alan Freed always gets credit for being the rock and roll DJ in American Hot Wax, but the truth is, Dewey Phillips in Memphis was the first guy that was putting this stuff on the air. He was the first guy that was playing stuff from Sun Records and then from Stax Records. Stax was across town, and that was where Aretha Franklin came out of. So they were kind of the precursor to Motown. So this was a powerful little thing that happened down in Memphis. It really impacted all of rock and roll.
Yeah, I just read where Nicki Minaj just passed Aretha Franklin for more hits on the top 100.
Really?
I'm like, that's
wow. Crazy.
That's that. You even talk about a milestone.
I know.
She still don't sound as good as
me. No.
So,
and then we had the,
My wife's never looked at me compassionately after listening to Nicki Minaj. But you throw on This Is the House That Jack Built and a candle and some wine.
Oh.
I ain't got to do no work except not say nothing stupid.
You can follow Billy on Twitter at Billy Gardell, and be sure and definitely check out his show on CMT called Sun Records at 10 p.m. on Thursdays. And you're going to be at the Irvine Improv this Friday and Saturday.
I'm working on some new material and do enough that you'll be happy you paid for your ticket, but then I want to try some new stuff on you, and I hope you enjoy that too. And I'm just trying to put together my next hour.
Would never give that up.
Yeah. No, I love stand-up. You have to do that. Love being a stand-up comic. I love making people laugh for an hour. There's nothing better. That's
Are you
the
romantic,
best fix in the world.
A romantic guy when you ask your lady to marry you? Did you really plan it out and do something
elaborate? I did it very traditionally, very old-fashioned. We had kind of a big family cookout up at her mom's house.
Did she know it was happening?
I don't think she did. And I had...
How long were you together before that happened?
We're 2 years.
Okay. That's
2 years. So I got down on my knee in front of everybody and asked her to marry me. And I don't know what it is with girls. Maybe it was just my wife who was, I don't know, quiet. But I've talked to other guys that this has happened. When you say yes, it's barely audible. That's awful awkward for us. Can you just throw some bass in that when you throw that yes out there? What's a better story is how I met my wife. I met my wife in a cool way. I saw her 3 times in 1 day. Saw her at a bank in Atlanta. Then I was performing at a comedy club in Atlanta. It's back before I was still an unknown and all that. Didn't have nothing. So I saw her 2 times in 1 day. Then I went to a jazz club after the comedy show, and she was there. So I figured 3 times in 1 day,
damn,
you got to take a shot, right? So I asked the bartender, I said, what's that girl drinking? And it was some wine, and I said, give me one. So I took it over to her table, and I go, hi, I'm Billy. Drink this till I'm cute.
Which
I thought was a great line.
Yes.
Without missing a beat, she goes, I'm going to need another one.
That's
my girl.
And then you got another one knee right there.
It was done for, bro.
Oh,
it was
done. Yeah.
Perfect for you.
And 17
crazy.
Years later, we're still here.
What's the secret?
The secret is, I think at the beginning of every relationship, it should be euphoric. I hear too many of my friends, especially in Los Angeles, where there's high drama like 4 months in. You know what, man? Cut your losses. It should be euphoric for 5 to 8 years. That's your foundation because you're going to need those memories. You're going to need those memories. So yeah. It should be euphoric, and then it peaks, and then you start messing with each other because you know everything about each other. Mm-hmm. Then you take each other for granted, and you and then you get to the point where, oh, my God, are we going to make it? And then if you can forgive each other at that point, you'll pull up into the sweet spot, and then it's
back
awesome.
Back to euphoria.
Yeah. Well, young guys always say, well, how do you do the pull-up? How do you pull up through that? I said, you stop messing with each other, and you judge everybody else. That brings the squad back together.
You and I against the world, right?
Exactly.
That's good advice.
1-800-955-5567 is the number if you want to talk to Billy Gardell. If you ever had a question for him you'd like to ask, you can do that. I just read there was a guy, he was proposed to his girlfriend, and they're from Ohio. He took her to Phoenix,
right.
And they climbed up this Camelback Mountain or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was like 3,000 feet,
right.
But they hiked up that. They're not in quite the shape to do that, and weren't prepared for the 90-degree weather in Phoenix, so they didn't have much water. So they get up to the top, and he's like, will you marry me? She's like, yes, and they had to call a helicopter to get him down.
Helicopter ride's kind of romantic.
Yeah, like, we feel like we're on The Bachelor. Hey, honey, look, there's the city below us. Have you ever seen something so pretty?
Dude,
but it's like,
you want...
Spit it out!
Give me a minute.
Yes, I want your water. And you know she's taking the last drop of his water, too, because he's like, I can't, you know. But yeah, is that an omen that they probably shouldn't go ahead and go through with it?
No, I think you got to give that guy a lot of points for effort.
Yeah.
Especially if he's going up a mountain and he doesn't look like he should be going up a mountain.
And they have a good story.
You got to give him a couple extra points.
Yeah. Give him a couple extra points for that.
Yeah, I think he gets a few extra credit.
You want to have a good engagement story. That's certainly a good one. One, yeah.
We talked about your parents earlier.
Yes.
your parents probably brag about you and all the success you've had. They're like, oh, Billy.
My dad will use the PR to get any kind of free item that he can get. And like he's now got free chlorine for his pool. Like, he'll call me with those random, like, I need you to sign a picture for my chlorine guy. Like, can you not use that for every single thing? Like, he'll tell everybody, you know? But he supported me all the way through, too. My dad wanted to be an animator. He's a great artist. He wanted to be an animator, and that didn't work out for him. So he kind of lives vicariously through. And, you know, he worked, you know, he was in the Navy during Vietnam. Then he was, you know, like painted houses. And then he became a bank teller. And from there, he worked his way up to a manager of this small little branch. But he hated it. He hated his whole life work-wise. He loves it now that he's retired. But he wanted to follow his dreams. So he was always about, don't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. So he was great that way. My mom hated it at the beginning. Hated it because I had a job at a warehouse and she's like, you've got insurance. You can't give up health insurance. You know, and of course, now she's singing a different tune and acts like she wasn't like that back then. She's like, we're just so proud.
Oh, always. Just sure you always believe. Yeah. And you're like,
yeah, so proud you threw me out at 17. That's how proud you
were. I was going to ask you, too, going back to like, we've all sort of taken money or had help from our parents. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how old you were? Like, how old you were when you were like, hey, Pop. Can I get $100?
Never asked them for any money. They didn't have it. Yeah. Well, I didn't come from a house where that was even a possibility, you know?
So while you're doing comedy, you had to work at a warehouse. Yeah, it wasn't your dad was like, here you go.
No, there was none of that. And, you know, like I told my dad when I was 16, I go, boy, I really want to get a car. And he's like, well, you better get to work. You know what I mean? It was that simple. But that was a great lesson, I think, back then. I don't think it's as hard for my kid, but I still try to instill some of that in him. I at least try to let him know. Like today, his school is going on a field trip to San Francisco for 3 days. They're going on a field trip. I grew up in Pittsburgh. Our field trip was, we went to a pickle jarring factory. We watched pickles get put in jars all day. That was the field trip. You ate outside in the heat.
You're right.
Yeah. Rode the bus home with no air conditioning. Did you enjoy the pickle factory? We loved it.
Loved it. Yeah, it was awesome.
You get out of math, you know. Yeah. But still, I'm like, buddy, you need to keep your perspective here.
I grew up in Indiana. No, our big field trip was going to see the covered bridges.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a bridge with a roof on it.
Wow.
Now let's go down to the candlestick maker.
I'm going to be inspired forever. Thank you.
And I get to eat a warm bologna sandwich now. Great.
If we go back to Pittsburgh when you were a teenager in high school, the guy you were then, we recognize you?
Yeah, I think so, man. I was always a chubby kid. I was funny. And I was always in the middle. I was never the class comedian or class clown, if they say it like that. I was always the guy that I was kind of a sniper. I had a funny line here and a funny line there, but I made sure it was a kill shot if I said it. You know what I mean? That's the kind of group of guys.
Hear that, Heidi?
I'm with,
try
you
that.
I mean?
Yes. Listen, yes. No, I'm just over here with the semi-automatic.
Nice to her.
Anything? No, yeah. Still nothing? Yeah. Okay.
She's just flamethrowing and everything.
And they're hoping eventually I'll be out of bullets.
You're going for average, right? I mean, if you throw 100 out there.
Exactly. Something's going to stick.
Go for average.
Shock it all. You need something eventually.
So is that how you would try to impress women when you were young with your humor? Did you ever do something silly?
I was such a social moron. It was awful. I did not know how to talk to girls until after high school. I was terrible in high school. But then, you know, I was overweight. I had some, you know, crooked teeth and glasses. I had no confidence. Getting up on stage and making people laugh gave me my confidence.
Were you in drama club?
I started at about 17.
Productions like plays, musicals?
Without a doubt, man. I wrestled and I played football and realized that I'm never going to be really good enough to go into any kind of place where that's going to earn me any money. But when I found the drama department, I was home free. Like, I found them in Florida. My parents split up. I ended up in Florida. And I found this drama department there. And what I loved about them was we lived in a place called Union Park, which was a very poor area of Orlando. And then there's the money area is Winter Park. And like any other institution with money, they scoop a bunch of poor kids to make you think that they're wonderful. And they get state financing extra money. That's all that is. You don't know that game till you later. You're just like, wow, we're the poor kids and we're going to a nice school. So anyway, that school was like 16-year-olds had BMWs and like it was like really intimidating coming from a place with no money. But when I got to the drama department, it really opened the world up for me because that was where all the misfit toys were. That's where everybody could be weird and just be weird. You know, and I tell my son this all the time. I go, you know, you get around those people where you say, I like Billy Joel. And then the men, you say that, they go, you don't need to, you should be listening to, that's stupid. Don't, I go, hide from those people. You, the person you want to hang around is, I like Billy Joel. And they go, oh, I don't like him, but cool, that's your thing. When you find that person, that's who you want to dial into. You don't want to dial into somebody who's just so close-minded that they don't like anything you like, or they can't disagree with you in a respectful way. So when I found that place, I was like, these kids know they're weird. I'm weird. They're fine with my weirdness. I'm fine with their weirdness. I knew right then, I'm like, I'm in.
You're
I'm
home.
In for the rest of the way.
You know, I was watching the Oscars, and I had that thought. I'm thinking, okay, we're watching the people that we glorify now. They're rich, famous, successful, talented, multimillionaire actors and actresses everybody wants to be. But back in high school, many, if not most of those, were the picked-on drama club geeks that nobody expected to mount anything. They didn't get to sit with the cool crowd in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. But fast forward to the real world, none of that crap mattered.
Well, I tell Will all the time, I say, you don't want to peak in high school.
Yeah,
you don't
want
to peek in high school.
No. No. That's right, Sammy.
Well, I just shot her right through the glass.
That was
brutal. Sniper shot, sniper shot.
Billy Gardell, before you have to get out of here, one final question for you.
Yes, sir.
If King Kong and Godzilla were gay, who's on bottom?
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Question of the day, believe it or not.
Well, I think whoever's more submissive. I would have to go that way, right?
Yeah.
Very political answer.
We overthought it earlier, yeah. We all were in agreement.
I thought Godzilla's arms are too short to reach the shoulders of King Kong.
Oh, there's other positions. I mean,
other positions? We didn't.
I really doubt if they're going to have romantic gay sex.
No, eye contact? I mean, why not?
First of all, we're talking about King Kong and Godzilla having sex. So, I mean, if we're going to go, let's go all the way.
Yeah.
I mean,
he makes a good point.
Let's go all the way down the hall if we're going.
Yeah. Think outside the box.
Eye contact. It's missionary style.
You might not agree with the way Godzilla and King Kong have sex, but that's okay.
That's
I don't like Billy Joel.
It's all cool, man.
That's all cool.
See? See?
This is a safe crew.
Thank you, Billy. Always fun having you in.
Great to see you guys, man. Thank
Anytime. Be sure and go to irvine.improv.com. Get your tickets to see Billy Gardell this Friday and Saturday. And be sure to check out his series on CMT Sun Records every Thursday at 10 p.m. on CMT. Thank you so much. We got to get traffic with Lisa May. What's going on, Lisa?
Traffic Report is brought to you by...